Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read a couple of verses here, verses 1 and verses number 2. The title of the message tonight is The Struggles of Running. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, it is a joy to be here tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather as free Americans to open up your word and allow your truths to speak to us. We ask, Lord, you just, for these next few moments, allow our heart, our mind, and our thoughts to be centered upon you tonight. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Well, I know a little bit about running, but not so much. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like to run. I think it's pointless. But that's just me personally. But I do know what it means and what it takes to keep your eyes focused on what lies ahead when it comes to competing. I know those things. When I was about 17 years of age, I'm going back a little bit in my life, and so I'm going to bore you for the next 5 minutes, so please bear with me. But I remember when I was about 17 years of age, I was a skinny kid. I was about 170 pounds, if you guys can remember me back then. I was just a twig. And I played basketball quite a bit for our school, and I had one problem that took place during that time, and that was me getting pushed around physically by other guys that I went up against. And basketball itself is a very physical sport. A lot of folks don't realize that, but I played it for many years, and I still play it on occasions. And it's almost just as physical sometimes when it comes to football without the pads. And it can be physical. Nowadays, it's not really designed that way, because all you do nowadays is run up to court and shoot a shot. There's no defense, so it's changed just a little bit. So I remember I struggled back then, and I decided that throughout the middle of the year that I was going to get involved in weightlifting. And that's something I kind of did periodically throughout my teenage years. I was never really serious about it, but every once in a while I would get on the weights, and I would begin to try to improve my body. I'm 46 years of age, and I'm still trying to improve my body. So what's that tell you? But anyway, I remember back in the day that in order for me not to get pushed around, I really had to focus on trying to stay fit and trying to get bigger. And so I put a goal in my mind that I thought was very unreachable for me. And when you get into a gym, the biggest thing that young men want to do is, one, they want to see how much that they can squat. I don't do squats because I have a bad back and bad knees. I gave that up years ago, and I think that's pointless. But anyway, that's just me. But guys, they thrive on those things. Man, I can squat 800 pounds. Good for you. I'm glad you can do those things. Come talk to me when you're 50 years of age if you can still walk. But the other thing that they are interested in is how much that they can put up on the bench. A lot of folks don't know this, but I set a goal in my mind way back then that I was going to get to a certain weight level on the bench, which was about 400 pounds. That was my goal. And here I am, 170 pounds, thinking to myself, I can't do something twice my weight. But I begin to put in the hard work that was necessary, staying focused and trying to train my mind, trying to train my body so that I can achieve the goal that I set before me. See, this is a different type of race that I'm talking about tonight with me. You know, when we think of race, we think of running. But there's a lot of different races in life. And so as the years went on, it didn't happen right away. I got involved. I started taking some proteins, shakes, and I think the thing big back in the day was amino acids, which is, you can buy those over the counter, stuff like that. And I took those things, and I began to see my body change, and I began to see some things take place that I never saw before. And so that excited me, and I kept going. I stayed focused. And I was able sometime in my mid-20s to reach the goal that I wanted to reach was 400 pounds. You know, I didn't stop there. Because when I was between 35 and 39 years of age, I went up to 475. Why? Because I kept my focus and I kept my drive because I wanted to achieve a certain goal. See, we can do those things if we set our minds to that. Back in 2002, there was a young man named Usain Bolt. He was 15 or 16 years of age at this time. And we know of Usain Bolt as being one of the fastest men in history. Before that, we knew of a man named Carl Lewis, who took everybody by storm back in the 84 Olympics and was a fantastic runner. And we thought that nobody can come along and was able to run the race as well as Carl Lewis. But there is a man by the name of Usain Bolt who put in practice, who put in hard work, not just for days, but he put in it for months and for years. And he came upon the scene at the age of 15 or 16 years of age and gathered in a crowd in a World Junior Championship in Jamaica. And in this crowd of 36,000 people, nobody really knew who Usain Bolt was. But Usain Bolt made a name for himself that day. He put himself upon the pedestal that he was desiring to get to when it came to winning the race. And we've been in awe of Carl Lewis during his reign as an Olympic champion. But Usain Bolt would go on and he would crush the records that he held. And he is considered the fastest man on the planet. You better be fast if you have a name, Usain Bolt. You better be fast. And he lives up to that. And more than likely, even as fast as he is now, there will probably be another person in this world that will probably someday break his records. Now, Usain Bolt put in some time. He knew what it took to run. He knew of the training that he had to do to stay focused, to get him to the finish line. So with this being said, on what are we to focus on in the race? And that race is we are to focus with patience. The race with Jesus could be, in another way to put it, but it takes much harder training and stamina to keep going on in the race with Jesus. It's not a race that will end in 9.69 seconds. I believe that's one of the records that Usain Bolt had during his reign. And that's fast. I can't even begin to get out of the couch that quick. But 9.69 seconds, he's crushing records. It's a race that it's a race that keeps going until God calls us home. It's a race that will allow us at times to become fatigued and become very tired, but there's no quit in sight. But we all know running is not meant for everyone. I told you a little while ago, I'm not thrilled with running. I'd rather have a fast walk or a slight jog. But I can care less for running. You know, in order for me to get up to speed, it takes a lot. And then when I want to slow down, it takes even more stamina and more energy to slow me down. It's like a train. But running isn't meant for everybody, which is why the word patience is used. And the sin, in this verse number one, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. How can you run with patience, you might ask yourself? And that would be in the form of walking, or perhaps a slow jog. I'm not a runner by design, but I have participated in many events that would consist of running. The one that I love the most comes in the form of basketball. Anybody here a basketball lover? All right, we got some folks that love to play basketball. Chad, you've coached girls basketball and taken them to the state championships. And you know what it takes for that to take place in their lives. But I love basketball. And there is, be honest with you, there's no patience when it comes to playing basketball. You have to think quick. You have to be on your feet. You have to be faster than the opponent. Otherwise, they could run around you and beat you. There's a lot of running that takes place in basketball. Jalen found that out a couple years ago. I remember growing up here, before we even had the gym outside, we had a basketball team. And in a normal gym, you'd have to run lines. But those lines are a lot different than these lines outside here in a parking lot. And we had to run those in the freezing rain and 20 inches of snow. I'm just kidding about the snow. But we had to run those things back and forth, back and forth. There's a lot of running involved in basketball. So I had to put into practice. And men and women who play the sport have to put into practice as well. And they'd have to do this because it consists of running. And you have to get your body in shape to play the sport that you enjoy. Just like Usain Bolt did. He had to practice. He had to practice running just to become a champion. And hopefully, as you begin to practice, you hope that during that time that all the training would get you to play in just a championship game. Some have experienced that challenge in life. They've gone through the hard work. They've gone through the practices when they're sick, when they're not sick. They showed up to every game. They've had close games. They've had games where they've blown people out. But all that hard work paid off towards the end when they stepped up onto the podium and received their prize for finishing first place. And that happens quite a bit. But there are some folks that will run that race and put in that time and put in that effort, and they'll lose. And they'll never stand upon the podium. You know, I followed basketball back in the day. I don't really follow much today. I follow a lot of college basketball, but not the pros. But there's one team that I can remember very well that went head-to-toe with the Chicago Bulls on many different occasions, and that was the Utah Jazz. And the Utah Jazz had two outstanding, tremendous players that I believe ever played the game, the best dynamic duo in my mind. Other people might have another opinion on that. But Karl Malone and John Stockton, I believe, were the best duo players ever. They put in the hard work. They put in the practice. They looked good on the court. They were able to feed off each other. They were able to make some outstanding plays. They went to the championship two or three times and never came up a winner. And that happens quite a bit in life. You know, that happens as well when it comes to the life of a believer. Very true to that. I've also seen many people along the way during that time drop out because they didn't want to put in the training. They didn't want to put in the practice. They didn't want to make the sacrifices necessary to get them to where they needed to be in their sport. You know, that almost sounds like a believer at times. They don't want to put in the time. They don't want to put in the effort or the training. And so they go about their own ways and they'll turn their back and say, you know what, this race that I'm supposed to be a part of is not worth my time. There's no value in it. I don't see the point in practicing. I don't see the point in trying to encourage the other believers alongside with me. So I'm going to quit. And that happens, unfortunately. And they'll never be able to hear at the end of the race, you made it champion. If Usain Bolt didn't put in those years, months, days, hours, seconds, we would never know who he was. That would be not only including guys like him, but guys like Dr. J, Julius Erving, who at the age of 73 just finally gave up dunking. Every single year on his birthday, he would grab the basketball and he would still dunk it. Can you imagine doing that at 73, Q? I can't even think to do it now. Michael Jordan. Go a little old school. Danny White, Dallas Cowboys, and Tony Dorsett. You wouldn't hear of guys like that who, if they didn't put in the time, the training, to get to the point where they can run and run well to be able to play the sport that God gave them the ability to do so. However, there is a far bigger race that needs to be addressed tonight, and that is the race that we are called to with Jesus. We're in a race tonight. A lot of folks don't understand that. They don't realize that. But we are in a race tonight. And there's a lot of things that we can take with this. And one of them I can take of right away is think of as a race is, just for an example, if you're wanting an example, is people are lost, people are dying every single day, and they're going to hell. It's a race for us to get to them, to give them the gospel, so that they can hear who Jesus is, so that their lives can be transformed, so that their destination can be changed from hell to heaven. It's a race for us to get out there to do the work that God has called us to do. It's a race that some finish strong. It's a race that some finish not so strong. But regardless how you finish, I'm going to encourage you, never give up along the way. Never give up along the way. Some might say, well, Chad, I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. But I do know that a true athlete will do everything within his power, within his being, to play the game that he loves to play. There was a game that was played years ago, one of the championship games that Michael Jordan was in. Stories have changed since then, but the original story that stood out at that time was he had the flu. And he didn't want to give up. He didn't want to put his shoes on the shelf that night. He didn't want to hang the towel. But what he did, he went out there, knew that he put in the time. He knew that he sacrificed so much that he wasn't even allow sickness to allow him not to play that game that night. He went out there and scored a tremendous amount of points. See, so often we use a lot of excuses in our lives to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. I was rehearsing this story the other day. I had no idea that God was going to take me this direction tonight. But I remember back in one of the games that I played, and Chris was from Sioux City, and our school played her school. It was a much bigger Christian school than ours was. And we went up there on many different occasions. We played them, and they held a big tournament one particular weekend. And I remember very well what took place that night. We played Friday night. We did a good job, and we were cheap back then. We didn't get a hotel. We stayed in their school. They allowed us to stay in their library. And we did that, but I noticed after a few hours after the evening game, I began to get sick. I wasn't really feeling well. I thought it was just cold in the gymnasium or the library that we're at, but come to find out, I was cold. And I was coming down with one of the worst sicknesses I had as a young person back at that time. But I didn't want to walk out. I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to let my teammates down. I didn't want to let my coach down who sacrificed his own time, volunteered to teach us how to play the game the way that we knew how at that point in time. I didn't want to let anybody down. So I began to suck it up, and I was sucking it up. And I remember as we got into the game, and I can't remember what place we were playing for. It could have been third place. I know it wasn't first at that point in time. But I remember where the gym was full. If you guys remember, Jeff's been there, I know that. Had the bleachers on the sidelines, and the stadium was, the auditorium was packed. And they went all out as they began to announce the team and all this stuff. And they got to my name. Oh, I love it when my name's called out. And they said, and starting center for Liberty Christian Eagles is Chad Springer. And guess where Chad Springer's face was at? It was in a big old trash can, puking his brains out in the auditorium. See, I didn't want to let my teammates down. I kept going. The race will do that to us at times. It'll become tiring, and we'll get fatigued, and we might feel sick along the way. But we got to keep going to the end. We have to keep going. Never give up. Keep going until God calls you home. So when I train for basketball and when I coach the girls' volleyball team with Gary, I used at that time when I was a player that I encouraged the girls to do something that would be beneficial to them. And that was to wear ankle weights. Has anybody ever wore ankle weights around here? And I'm not talking about the ones that the police department checks in on you. That's not the ankle weights I'm talking about. So keep your hands down if that's you. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I would encourage these girls to wear ankle weights. And I did this for a reason, because this had helped me out tremendously in basketball. And I knew it could help the girls out as well. Sure, it was comfortable for them, but in the end, if they can just make it through the training with it, they would see such amazing differences in their athletic abilities. And how they'd run, how would they jump, and how they would react to the ball. I've seen these girls do this on many different occasions. Some girls couldn't even jump up to the net. They put the ankle weights on, they run around all practice with them. At the end of the practice, they can actually touch the net or even go over it. I'll tell you one girl who's got tremendous jumping abilities here is Candace. That girl can almost grab the rim. I'm just shocked in how well she can jump. But it's uncomfortable at times, but it was beneficial for them. You see, obviously the weights would weigh them down. Wherefore, verse number one, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. See, the weights weighed them down. It made them much slower. Their reaction time to the ball was much more difficult. It would hinder their movement, but it was for their own good. You see, weights are a burdensome to walk around in and to even run with them. But here's the thing about having weights around your ankles. But when we take them off, we find out a few things. What do we find out? One, we feel lighter. We then realize that we can jump higher. And then we realize our reaction time would increase. And finally, we would see how much faster we would become. Now let's transition this into the believer's life. In the believer's life, there is a weight that is keeping us from running the race that we are in. Can anybody guess what that weight is? That weight is sin. That weight is sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Sin weighs us down. Sin makes us slower. And at times, it causes us not to even react to God during the training process. See, sin separates us from God as well. Just like Usain Bolt, with a crowd of thousands watching him, we too have a crowd watching us, how we run and how we walk the race with God. We have many people watching us. It says a great cloud of witnesses. And what is it that they're actually seeing with the weight that we are allowing us to slow us down? At times, it feels like we can't even get ahead in a race. Has anybody ever been in that situation, that position before? And we feel that way due to the fact that our sins are weighing us down. But when we come to the point of confessing our sins and laying them aside to never pick them up again, when we do that, the race seems to get easier. Sin weighs us down. Sin makes us heavy. Sin makes us not react to the things that we should be reacting to. Well, how do we get rid of that sin? We confess it. You don't have to confess it to me. You don't have to confess it to anybody else. Confess it to God. Let Him take the weight from you. And never pick it up again. And then when that takes place, we can see the accomplishments that God wants to make in our life. A runner, when competing, he is always doing one thing. And that is this. He's looking ahead to the finish line. But so often, we try to look ahead to the finish line, but what normally happens? We get distracted. But a runner whose drive is to win and not allow anything else to come between them, his eye is focused on the finish line. He's looking ahead to that victory line. And he does everything that he can to avoid the obstacles on the path so that he can end up in victory lane. Well, what's going to happen to a runner when he's running the race? What type of an obstacle is going to come in there? You know, just a little pebble can hit his shoe wrong and cause him to fall and stumble into the path of the other runner. So many things can take place. We too need to have that same focus. But what are we to look unto? Verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The race that we are in, we are to look to Jesus. And why are we to look unto him? For this reason. Because the race is difficult. And quitting is not an option. You know what should take place? I've seen this on many different occasions. I've watched marathons. I've watched the relay races. And there's been some great athletes that have run those things on many different occasions. But there's been a few occasions where somebody didn't really care about winning. They've trained and they trained and they put in the time and the effort and they're running. And all of a sudden, somebody who put in that same time, that same amount of effort, fell along the way. And I've seen such tremendous athletes give up a chance at standing on the podium to receive first, second, or third place to pick up the fallen runner to help them cross the finish line. You know, that's a great picture of us. As we're running a race, we're going to see people that's going to fall along the way. You know what we need to do? Pick them up. Pick them up. Your drive, your agenda, your goal is the same thing. You want to get to the finish line. So what we need to do is help them to succeed. Pick them up along the way. Because it's difficult. Things happen. And quitting is not an option. Jesus had a race as well. What was that race? That race took him to the cross. But what happened in the life of Jesus? If that were you or me, we probably would have done everything that we could to get away from that appointment in life. But Jesus, he stayed focused. He saw the finish line. He knew he had to go to the cross. He knew what he would have to endure to get to the cross. I was talking to the pastor last night. He said he was had a sleepless night, really, the night before in the hospital. And I'm not going to get the story totally right. But he said he woke up and he really couldn't sleep for this reason, because he was poked so many times the day before. He says, you know what? And I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not saying it correctly. But he said, I begin to think about how many times my Savior was poked for me. You know what he's saying? He's saying it gets difficult, but you stay focused. He stayed focused. He also stayed in shape. What do you mean? Jesus stayed in shape. Jesus was perfect. Yes, he was perfect, but he stayed in shape by doing this, by talking to his Father. You know, many of you folks have never stepped foot in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had a great time of prayer in that garden with his Father, talking with him. He stayed close to his Father, stayed in shape by having a relationship with him. And then, the weight that we talk about here in this verse, that weight of sin, Jesus took it upon himself as he went to the cross. And he laid his life down for you and me. But that's not the end. If that was the end, that would be a sad story. But there's much more news to that. There's an exciting end. Because as he stayed focused, and as he went to the cross, and as he took every beating for you and for me, he stands victorious today. I tell you what, that is a champion in my mind. That is a runner who had a race that he knew that he had to run for you and for me. And he stands victorious. This race that we are in is amazing. And all we have to do is stay focused on Jesus, for he is our ultimate prize. There are only two things that this race requires. Get a pen, write it down. It's very simple. Two things. One, we got to start. Two, we need to finish. Don't get caught along the way. You have the starting process, but along the way, somewhere in the middle, or even towards the end, or just right after the beginning, you might think to yourself, I want to quit. This race isn't fun. Two things are required. Start the race and finish the race. That's what we need. I know it's a struggle when it comes to running the race. I know there are struggles in the race of a believer. I get those things. We're all faced with it. But I do know this. If Jesus can overcome those things, don't you think that he can give you the ability to overcome them as well? I sure do. I believe that with all my heart. Start and then finish. Well, when's my finish line? When God calls you home. When God calls you home. That's the only time we quit. So until then, stay in shape. Stay in shape. Put the right things in your body to keep you healthy, to keep you going, and that is the Word of God. I hope this has been an encouragement to you tonight, as it's been an encouragement to me these past couple of days. Let's have ourselves a word of prayer. Take a little bit of time to fellowship with one another, and we will see you Sunday. Well, you won't see me Sunday. I will be absent from here, but I'll see you next Wednesday. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you've allowed us to have. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor that you've given us and you brought home from the hospital. God, I pray that you continue to give him strength, Lord, as he continues his race. Lord, I know he's fatigued, but God, he has a desire to keep running with you, and I thank you for that. Lord, bless us as we leave from here tonight. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.